another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the comedy routine of free speech, because if you saw the presidential debate last week, there's going to be a lot of comedy routines that are born out of that debate. That's going to be the debate that keeps on giving to comedians. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send badly needed fundage to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719. Operators are standing by. Mark Collett, sorry about yesterday. We had a little bit of a trouble. I had some scheduling conflicts and whatnot, but you're here today. Thank you very much for joining me.
Well, I'm pleased I'm here today, and I was slightly annoyed yesterday with you, Patrick, and if you'd been around me, I think I'd have had to physically chastise you, because I was on a 2 Red Bull day, and then because your show was coming up, I broke it into a 3 Red Bull day, and just as I was about to finish my 3rd Red Bull, you were like, oh, I don't think we can do the show now, and I was like, well, I'm now all caffeinated, what am I going to do? And that was slightly problematic.
Maybe a bunch of home repairs?
I don't know what I did. I think I just worked. I did some other bits. And yeah, did I do anything around the house? No. I was a bit like, oh, God, what am I going to... It's one of those things. I do like my Red Bull, and I like it before a show, because if you have it before a show, it is something that does help with thought, with speech, etc. When I was young, I've been drinking this stuff for a long time, basically a long time. And when I was young, I would always drink a can of it before an examination. So when I was doing my A-level exams, I would have a can as I was going in. Now, I revised very hard for my A-levels. I got 4 A's, which were the highest grade you could get. And so that was an A in every one of the A-levels I did. I was very proud of that. And I remember going into those exams, and basically it was like, let's have a Red Bull before I go in. And it really does help fire you up. But the problem is, it's also hard then to sort of calm down once you've had one. So if you're doing something like a big debate, it's something where you're like, well, I do want my Red Bull before I do my debate. And sometimes people will see me on these debates, and I'll be drinking them during the debate itself to ensure that sort of I'm in sort of tip-top condition, so to speak. Yeah. But
did they forget to give Biden his Red Bull?
Look, I was going to say this. Yeah, I was actually leading to this. You kind of ruined it now. So now I've wasted another Red Bull. we've still got an hour of the show left. It's fine. No, so I drink this and it sort of fires me up. But if I'm not doing something where I need to think, or if I want to relax, and that's a problem, because sort of later on in the evening, if you do a late night debate and you've been tanking the Red Bull, it is problematic when it actually comes to getting to sleep. Because you're all caffeinated, you've got your sugar in you, et cetera, et cetera. And you want that because you've got to be thinking on the fly and coming up with witty retorts. And I found a really, really good supply of Tropical Edition Summer Red Bull at a very, very cheap price, significantly under £1 a can, which is really good. So, you know, a couple of cans a day is neither here nor there, considering I don't drink or smoke or do anything that's actually detrimental to my health, other than this, which arguably isn't really that detrimental. But anyway, it does fire you up. And when you're in one of these debates, or when you're on like a show like this, you want to be high energy. You want to be coming out with the witty retorts or the little remarks. And, you know, that's sort of part of what you're doing. You're there to both inform. I would say you're there to inform and entertain. A little bit of both. Inform and entertain. And I will say this, and this is a bit of sort of disclosure, I suppose. I did not watch the full presidential debate with Trump and Biden. But I was a guy that sort of watched the highlights, so to speak. And sometimes that's quite good. It's like, it's the football's on at the moment. And sometimes a football match is really good. Sort of it's end-to-end play, lots of goals, lots of passes, tackles, near misses. And you want to watch the whole thing. Then other times there's those really turgid games where you look at the score and it's like, oh, it's 3-2. And you think it's a really, really good game. But most of it is absolutely turgid. And there was a goal at the beginning, and then, say, maybe... And the other 4 goals all happened in the last 5 minutes of the game, but the rest of it was just turgid. And that's what I call a highlight match, where you just watch the highlights. And I just watched the highlights of the Trump-Biden debate. But one thing I'll say about Biden is he certainly didn't have his Red Bull. But I'm at the point now where call me a naysayer if you will, Patrick. I'm not sure that Biden could be helped by Red Bull. Even if you immersed Biden in a tank of Red Bull, left him there for an hour to stew, whilst simultaneously attaching him to a tropical Red Bull drip that went straight into his bloodstream. I'm not even sure that would perk him up at this point. I mean, he looked like they'd wheeled him out of a dementia home. He was appalling. And I think, and people are going to be annoyed at me saying this because people don't like Trump on our side of the fence and they're like, oh, well, he's, you know, pro-Israeli, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I think Trump is entertaining. And I think if you were at a dinner party with Trump and Trump was the center of attention and was telling stories and making his little speeches around the table, I think he's an entertaining guy. I think he's engaging. I think he's sort of a funny guy. And I will say this. Trump seemed to be on form, and watching him react, and this was the beauty of it, his facial reactions to Biden's nonsense were utter gold. Watching him react was just absolutely beautiful. So he didn't even really have to say anything to rip him to pieces. He just reacted, and he's got this way. I don't know if you've ever watched wrestling, but The Rock does this thing, a famous wrestler, where he sort of raises his eyebrow, and it's his thing. And Donald Trump's got a sort of a, not exactly the same, but slightly similar raise of the eyebrow. I don't know if you've noticed this, but he's very good at doing sort of an eyebrow raise. And when he does this eyebrow raise, he kind of looks up in a confused, so he raises his eyebrow and looks in a confused manner, as if he doesn't know what's going on. Now, obviously, he knows what's going on, and he's not confused at all. He's doing it to mock the person that he's speaking to. And this happened numerous times through this debate, and I was just howling. And watching, you know, the highlights of this was a true joy to me, because Biden is getting absolutely smashed. And I know all the stuff about, you know, fake President Biden and Trump's the real president, all this has kind of died down. And, you know, that rumbled on for maybe a year, year and a half, 2 years with some commentators. But that's kind of died off now, and Trump's running again. So people have sort of settled him into the fact that, you know, whether he got cheated or whether he didn't, he isn't the president now, but he may well be again. And one thing I really, really love about this is Biden does not look presidential at all, and Trump does. And it kind of revives that fake President Biden thing, because why would anyone vote for him? I mean, this man is a bumbling jerk, and that's being kind. Why would anyone have voted for him? This guy, on paper, if you believe the nonsense, has got the highest number of votes any presidential candidate has ever received in the history of forever. Yet here he is, and he can't string a sentence together. Now, at that point, you can see there's something up. And I can see there's something up. You can see there's something up. Anyone with a brain can see there's something up. And it really does show America up, or the American political system, the corrupt electoral system, the way it was all rigged. It shows it all up. It shows it up in a beautiful way. And I found it wonderful. I found it wonderful. And as a Red Bull enjoyer, I sat there and I thought to myself, this man could not be saved, even with a lifetime supply of Red Bull. I mean, to say, there's, I think South Park have already lampooned this, and they've done like this little skit where Biden's on stage gibbering, and somebody comes and stabs a syringe of sort of adrenochrome mixed with speed or whatever in his shoulder and revives him every time he starts to falter. And that is what it looks like. But the amazing thing is, there's these all these calls now for Biden to quit. And I hadn't seen this, but there's all these calls that Biden must quit, that Biden must go, that he's let everyone down, that this is like, this is bad. You know, Biden's got to go. And I'm now thinking to myself, is Biden going to go? Are they going to get rid of Biden before the election? And if they did get rid of Biden before the election, the only real candidate at this point would have to be Kamala Harris, which is something you predicted a long time ago, that Biden was eventually going to run out of steam. I remember this prediction. You said Biden would run out of steam. He'd become so insane and senile that, you know, you would elect Biden and eventually you would get Harris. And obviously it's coming up to the end of his tenure. But surely that's their only way out at this point. Surely they can't put Biden on the ballot and pull a fast one and claim that he was reelected?
Well, it's gotten very complicated. My prediction was that Biden would, because he was clearly having senility issues even before the 2020 election. 2019, if you went back and you watched the first couple of debates that he was in 2019 for the Democratic primaries, he was just gibbering nonsense. He was just shouting, poor kids are just as smart as white kids, and leave the record player on at night for your kids so they can learn how to read, and just complete nonsense. So this has been going on for a long time. My prediction was that I thought by the midterm elections, it was like, yeah, by the midterm elections, either a little bit before, a little bit after, would be when Biden would resign or be pushed out. It didn't happen. At this point, I mean, Kamala, I call her chlamydia, she's even less popular than Biden. So she might not be seen now, but people don't like her. Couple of comments. One is, you mentioned drinking Red Bull before your A-level exams. You know, I had before my SATs, which are, the equivalent of college entrance exams in the United States?
I'm guessing something with sugar in it.
No, something with alcohol in it. It was at least one quart of Schlitz malt liquor. Not a good
Does
thing.
That
Not
work?
Good... No. It was just, it was just part of my routine. I don't drink anymore. But I did as a teenager. So, but before my comprehensive examinations for my PhD, I had ginseng tea, which doesn't do much one way or the other, but it was part of my routine. At any rate, the thing is, Biden, a few months ago, I mean, clearly he's been having senility issues for years, but a few months ago for the State of the Union address, he stood up for well over an hour and shouted at Congress and was, challenging them to fight and telling them to get the hell off his lawn. He was very energetic and loud. And he still looked kind of senile. He looked like a crazy old man, but he was forming sentences and words.
I don't want to get conspiratorial, but you can give people drugs to do that. There are certain drugs, especially amphetamine, which is known on the street as speed, that does that to people. So if you've got sort of problems mentally, so like old people, if they're sort of senile or if they're having problems with things like dementia, you can give them a shot of speed and that would bring them back around. There are things that can stimulate the brain for short periods of time. Now, there's no... to my knowledge, there's no actual long-term cure, and I'm sure if there was a cure to it, Biden would be one of the few people in the world, even if it was incredibly expensive, to have this administered to him. But I believe that he will have had some sort of medication at some time in order to help him with his senility.
Yeah.
For a short period. So it's like if we're getting you up on stage, boss. How much does he need? 2 milligrams, get it in his arm kind of thing.
At this point, I don't think it's particularly conspiratorial because, there was the bizarre things that he was saying on stage 5 years ago in debates. The whole the corn pop speech was pretty funny. Just a lot of things going back years, falling on steps, falling a lot, just wandering around stages, not appearing to know what to do. There was one famous episode at a White House reception where former President Obama was there and everybody was crowding around Obama trying to get selfies. And Biden was just wandering around by himself, kind of lost. And, at one point he put his hand on Barack Obama's shoulder and Obama just kind of ignored him. And it was people were looking at it, say, that's really sad. So you have that. But the thing is, Biden, it's not simply that... Well, this is an odd animal. Sorry, I'm just walking around. I see some odd animal. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's an eye or a numbat or something. At any rate, it's not just Biden, the individual. Biden is part of a team. And the team includes, it includes a lot of Jews. It includes Anthony Blinken and Janet Yellen, Merrick Garland, and Alejandro Mayorkas, and his chief of staff, Jeff Zients. And it includes, you know, some other people. I guess Jake Sullivan is important in the administration. And these people, without Biden, they don't have their office. They don't have their power. And so, you know, you could replace Biden with Gavin Newsom or even Kamala Harris, and you're going to get a different team. So these people, while it might be perfectly clear that Biden is, he's not fit to be president, there are a lot of people who want to remain in their powerful positions, who can only remain in their powerful positions if Biden is occupying the White House. And so that's what's going on. So the people, I think you're getting people both in the media and people who are outside of the administration, Democrats outside of the administration, who don't have as much skin in the game, who are saying, well, you know, Biden should step aside. And there, you know, there are also people in Congress or in other elected office who are going to be running in the November general election also. And if there's somebody at the top of the ticket, the presidential candidate who's more popular, then they can benefit from it. But the thing is, there's hardly anybody more popular. I mean, the only person at this point, I think, who polls any better than Biden among Democrats is Michelle Obama, who I guess people look at as a surrogate for getting Barack Obama back, who for some reason is still popular with some people. But she's not really a very appealing person. And if she actually came into the spotlight, people wouldn't like her. But the last thing is, it just procedurally, it's not easy at this point to swap somebody in. It's not impossible, and it could happen, but it's not easy. And I doubt that he's going to be switched out. Last thing is, I just saw a report a couple hours ago that the Democratic Party, which was already, for reasons I don't have to go into right now, it was already going to have a virtual vote on the presidential candidate even before the convention, because of certain deadline issues for filing for candidacy in the state of Ohio. They're now thinking of moving that virtual vote up to maybe as early as, say, July 21st, and just, you know, get and the people who want to do this are people who just want to go with Biden and want to squash the discussion about replacing him. So with that, I'll kick it back to you, Mark.
Well, look, I agree with you, and I don't believe that they can really replace him at this time. I mean, I'm sure there are ways they technically could replace him if they really wanted to. But the reality is, I don't think there's going to be any replacement. I think it's too late for any of that now. That ship has sailed. And I also think the whole, you know, maybe Michelle Obama or something like that coming in, it is also would also be extremely unlikely. And again, that would be because you'd probably need a huge amount of sort of, I don't know, what can you say? There'd need to be some kind of voting mechanic whereby the Democrats voted this person in. So usually when you have a series of presidential primaries, there is some kind of, you know, democratic structure to those presidential primaries, isn't there? You know, that's just how it is. And I can't imagine them bringing forth somebody completely new without there at least being the, you know, without there at least, you know, and I know there's been things in these Democratic primaries which haven't been Democratic. So obviously, when it was Hillary against Bernie back in 2016, people were saying, Bernie Sanders, he's running away with it, he's got the support, and all of a sudden, Hillary seemed to just come out of nowhere.
Get More Tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get More Tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get More Tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it, contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine, reduce your emissions, and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A 5-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
People were saying, Bernie Sanders, he's running away with it, he's got the support, and all of a sudden Hillary seemed to just come out of nowhere, so to speak. And at that point, people were like, is there something going on? Has there been something untoward happen here? And a lot of people thought that that was stolen as well. They thought that, you know, people had been robbed of the candidate they wanted, which, again, may well have been the case. Now, again, I'm not an expert on that, but at the time, that was a popular theory. But I do think it's very interesting because it tells you that the fact this is even being discussed and the fact that certain leading pundits are actually taking this seriously means there must be at least some kind of crisis in the Democratic Party. For that to even be tabled, it means people must be very worried. Now, as I said, I think the timescale is too tight because we're already into July. The election's in November, so you've got July, August, September. It's at the very beginning. You've got 4 months to select a new candidate and there to be any sort of democratic process leading up to that. There isn't the time. It's too tight. But it is interesting that people are getting nervous. Now, does this mean that potentially they're nervous enough to let this one play out fairly, to actually allow this election to go the proper way and for Trump to be elected if he gets the most votes? Or are they going to try another steal? And if they did try another steal, how do you think that would really look? Because with so many people being so disdainful of Biden at the moment, how could you possibly go from that and sort of try to suggest in any meaningful way that, you know, that Biden had won people over? I mean, his presidential term has been disastrous. He's repeatedly been hammered in the polls. He ended up getting so low in the polls at one point, the only person who polled worse than him was Carter, who is well-known. Jimmy Carter is well-known as like one of the most disastrous presidential presidents in the history of America. So where would you go with this? I mean, at this point, it looks like a shoo-in for Trump. Is there any way that he could be stopped? Is there any way they could turn this round without cheating? And if they did cheat, would the steal be in any way credible?
I mean, it would be hard to steal for Biden. There's a few things. One is there are a lot of people who don't like Trump. And so nobody really voted for Biden. Nobody really ever liked Biden. But people did vote against Trump. There was a certain amount of voting against Trump. But Trump is less of a threat than he was in 2016. And I think in 2020, it was stolen from him. I think he's less of a threat than in 2020 even, for two reasons. One, I mean, obviously his the policies he's talking about now are much more establishment Republican. You know, he's talking a lot about taxes and regulations and things like that. While he does talk a lot about the illegal immigration, he's talking, like 8 years ago, he was talking about legal immigration. He was talking about chain migration, which is, you know, family reunification process, which is how most immigration actually takes place. He was talking about the H-1B visas. Now, recently, he's been talking about granting permanent residency to any foreign student who finishes a college program, even a two-year community college program, which is ridiculous. And, you know, especially when you consider what people study at college these days. I mean, do we really need more green-haired lesbian gender studies?
I find it funny when you say it's ridiculous, because it absolutely is ridiculous. So I'm not saying it's not ridiculous, but this absolutely has precedent here in the UK. So when he says crap like this, this is what we have here. So one of the biggest problems we have in the UK, and this is how they sell it, is that we grant huge numbers of student visas. And student visas often also grant the right to some members of family to come with the students. So this is ridiculous. So you could have, you know, a girl from India wanting to come here and study tourism and environmental matters. Total rubbish degree, absolutely pointless, but it gives her the right to come here. And not only does it give her the right to come here, but it gives her the right to bring her mum and her grandma. Now, at this point, you're rolling your eyes already, I'm sure. But the fact is, she would then be given the right to stay, because the way the Conservatives sell this is they go, well, why would we want them to go back? After all, you know, if we're investing all this money in their education and they're coming here, you know, to learn these skills, why would we want them to leave? You know, why would we let them go? Surely they should stay here and pay their taxes and do their bit, etc., yada, 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 yada. And you can see where I'm coming from here, can't you? The way that people be like, oh, well, that's got, he's got a point there. You know, they've come and they've learned here. This would be a brain drain. You know, the people we're training, going and building up a company. And obviously, this is a complete BS point. Because, you know, but is that where, the reason I'm asking this, is this where Trump has got this crap from? Is he importing this kind of nonsense from the UK?
Yes. This is stuff that I guess Romney used to say, and other Republicans, Charlie Kirk famously talked about stapling green cards to diplomas. So this is establishment Republican stuff. And the establishment Republican.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
I guess Romney used to say, and other Republicans, Charlie Kirk famously talked about stapling green cards to diplomas. So this is establishment Republican stuff. And the, you know, the establishment Republicans have never been particularly against immigration. They've been pro-immigration because it keeps labor costs down. I mean, to establishment Republicans, the people are here to serve the economy. It's not that the economy is here to serve people. And that is the dominant way of thinking in America. Is, you know, we need the people for the economy. Oh, and Trump, even like in his State of the Union, maybe 2019, said something, 2018 or 2019, he said, we need more immigration than ever before because I brought all these factories here. I brought all these factories and we don't have the workers for them. That's putting that's ass backwards, right? So he's saying stuff like that. So he's less of a threat on it in terms of immigration. Sure, he'll shut down the illegal immigration, maybe a bit, but he'll expand legal immigration. So it's net in terms of what people are more and more calling white genocide. It's the same thing. And in terms of the war, I mean, look at, like, he was been against the Ukraine war, but then part like 6 months ago said, well, yeah, we shouldn't give them money. We should lend it to them. They're good for it. We'll just lend them the money. So he's saying a lot of retarded things. So he's less of a threat that way. But then also remember that they've already had him in the White House for 4 years. And during those 4 years, things were chaotic. There was a lot of fighting between Trump and the establishment, deep state, if you want to call it that. But who won those fights? For the most part, Trump lost. And, you know, you could say, well, hopefully he learned from his mistakes. But he really hasn't shown a lot of signs of learning from his mistakes. If he had learned from his mistakes, he would have a campaign staff full of the people that were giving, well, there weren't very many people giving him good advice, but there were some people. You know, he had a few people who might have been giving him good advice. But you look at his campaign staff and the types of people that he's talking about putting in his cabinet, the types of people he's looking at for vice president. And no, it's just establishment stuff. So I don't think he's as scary. And then, you know, lastly, you look at the fundraising, and he is getting big time Jewish money. So I, you know, and of course he's gone pro genocide, you know, wanting Israel to finish the job. So I don't think he's scary. It's not as if he's necessarily the first choice of the bulk of the people in the what I'd call the Jewish power structure. But I don't think he's that scary. And if they can't get a second Biden term at this point, Trump, he's just not that scary. So I don't know if there's, if you do a cost benefit analysis from their point of view, if it would be worth the cost of rigging an election to get a clearly unpopular and, you know, if not illegitimate, ridiculous presidency. No, probably a cost benefit analysis. You just let Trump have it for 4 more years. He's not so scary. That's the way I see it.
Do you know what? I was going to say the same thing. I was saying, if I was on the other side of the fence and I was working towards their agenda, I would be like, look, let's get this out of the way. Let's put this to bed. Once Trump's done his second term, he can't come. The worst he can ever do is pick a successor. Let's then put him out to pasture and make sure that we shore this up so we don't ever get another Trump. That would be a much more sensible way of moving forward for the establishment. And I think Trump isn't necessarily as scary for them as he was. I think he proved himself to be ineffectual from our point of view when he was in power the first time. And I simply don't see Trump as somebody who is going to go out there and really shake things up. And I also think he is someone that he's a wealthy guy. He's got a lot of money. He's got power, etc. Yada, 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 yada. And because of that, he does have different interests to us. And that's very true. You know, he is somebody that thinks about things in the sense of, well, how is this going to affect, you know, my factory? He thinks about things from that point of view because he is not one of us. He's not one of the common people. He's not a normal guy. And people in that position, they do have a different perspective on things to us. So I don't think he's going to be fantastic. I mean, I would say he's preferable to Biden, but my way of seeing him as being preferable is I do believe he'll do the odd decent thing, and I also believe he will do things that annoy the left and cause them to show their true colours. And this is something I've spoken about with you before. I think he's almost the sort of chaos candidate, if you like, because Trump will come in, he will say things that may well be right. I mean, we're seeing this in France at the moment with Marine Le Pen. You know, she's not even won yet, you know. She won the first round of the elections in France, but post the first round of the elections, there's been absolute chaos in France, complete chaos. And at this point, you've got to say to yourself, the left are showing themselves for who they are, these leftist migrant gangs, you know, tearing up Paris. And I think you could get the same in America. And I do think when you have this, when you get, you know, the left or, you know, or other gangs, you know, showing themselves up like this, it is very, very good from our point of view, in the sense that I believe a lot of people who are on our side of the fence, or nominally the sort of people who would listen to us, they look at this and think, oh my God, you know, what is going on here? You know, there's a we've got a serious problem. We have a real serious problem, and this problem is, you know, a radical left-wing migrant problem, which, you know, is a threat to normal people in this country. And I think that is something that will come out of this a particular election. I think that if Trump wins, you're going to have riots, you're going to have big problems. And I think that will red pill a lot of people.
It might. There's one other thing about Trump. And I listen to an entire Trump rally. I've been to several, and I've from time to time I'll listen to his rallies. And he's an entertaining person. He's an engaging person. He stands up in front of a crowd of admirers, and for 2 hours he just kind of talks and has a little bit of back and forth with some people, and it's fun. But the thing about Trump is he's got this particular relationship with reality. You know, his detractors call it lying. I just call it a particular relationship, a very particular special relationship with reality. And he reminisces about his time in office, and it was so great, and the border had never been more secured. Well, and of course it wasn't. And so what he does to his followers, and his followers are the people that we would like to be our followers, basically. But what he does to them is tell them, hey, everything's great. It was great when I was president, and it's going to be great again. And so he does kind of he serves a useful purpose in getting people who should be very, very dissatisfied into thinking that somehow they've got a victory. And so, you know, this is an issue. There was big problems when he was president. We did have massive immigration. It wasn't quite as much as it is now. But you had the coronavirus lockdowns. He wasn't able to stop any of that. You had, I guess, the vaccine mandates hadn't started yet, but, you know, he developed the vaccine. There's the social distancing. There was the black riots. I mean, the Summer of Love, that was under Trump. That wasn't under Biden when he had all those Black Lives Matter riots. He was completely ineffectual. And yet, he's got half the country thinking everything was great when he was president. So that's an issue.
Oh, look, I've seen that. And he, the way he talks, he's very, very good at convincing people that things were all roses when he was in power. And I've seen this. He'll sit there on the debate, or he'll stand there at a rally, and he'll say, remember when I was in charge? Remember the border? We never had it more secure. It was never more secure. This country, under Donald Trump, under my presidency, it was never more secure. Now what have we got? People walking over the border, nothing happening, absolute chaos, threat to our people. We need me in power again. And he's very forceful with that. And he makes it sound like this was a golden time for Americans. Now, obviously, you and I know this was not a golden time for Americans. In fact, you know, most of the things he promised, he absolutely failed to deliver on in any meaningful way. And eventually, you know, he left power after not changing really very much at all. And his big thing, which he now sort of doesn't talk of, which was build the wall, you know, didn't really happen. You know, building the wall did not really happen. I realize that, you know, these large fencing was put up, et cetera, but there wasn't this, you know, Israeli style, you know, mega wall that trapped out all the migrants, and they're on the other side, please let us in. And he's like, no, not by the hairs of my chinny chin chin, you bounders. And that didn't happen. And he wants people to believe that happened, because obviously that serves him well. You know, if people actually think, well, oh, wow, when Trump was in there, remember the building of the wall. Well, there wasn't a building of the wall. Right. The wall was never actually built, but it does serve him to say it was. It does serve him, you know, it serves his purpose. And I think there's a bit of a problem in that wherever you go in time, things seem to get worse. You know, as you go through, things seem to get worse. And this has happened here in the UK. So I remember under the times of Blair, people were very much like, well, look, you know, Blair is destroying this country. Blair's ruining the country. We live in a terrible place. You know, there was the credit crunch. There was the war in Iraq. There was the war in Afghanistan. There was the weekly spectacle of coffins coming back to the UK and, you know, being paraded through the streets of Wootton Bassett, you know, and people were sick of it. People were like, we do not want this. You know, our young men are coming home dead. This economic boom has come to an end. There was the credit crunch. There was uncertainty, yada, 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 et cetera, et cetera. And now people look back and go, oh, but wasn't the late 90s this golden era? Remember the music? Remember Britpop? Remember Cool Britannia? Remember, remember, remember? And people do look back on things with rose-tinted glasses. And I think that's really, you know, what people are doing now. And when you look at how bad things really are under Biden, it really is no surprise that people are going to look back on the Trump era as if it was the time of milk and honey. Now, you and I know it absolutely was not the time of milk and honey, but it's a very easy sell for people who are either really struggling now and weren't struggling so much back then, and an even easier sell for people who are his diehard supporters that absolutely want to believe him. And I've got to say this, politics post-World War II, I believe, has been somewhat a system of cult of personality. And, you know, without going into history too much, I think, you know, Hitler came to power on the basis of being a man that people genuinely loved and genuinely respected and liked listening to. And there was a huge cult of personality around Hitler. And ever since then, I think politics, especially in America, has gone down that route, has gone down that route of people coming to power based on, you know, their personality. I think that was especially true of Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, and Trump as well. And Trump supporters love him, you know, like he is their emperor, their master and commander. So when he, you know, brings forth this narrative to them, that is what they want to hear. They completely buy into it. You know, they're cheering, they're whooping, they're hollering. These big political rallies, obviously, they're something that, you know, are a throwback to a different time, if you like. And I think now he's going to sell this effectively. And the only way I believe that they can stop him is by stealing the election. I think he's a shoo-in. And my only worry is that if he does get in, is he a man who would be likely to, you know, and this is something that a few people have said, he's probably the only man in America that could sell some form of, I don't know, conscription, national service, or signing up to some war to young white men. You know, Biden couldn't sell those things to young white men. If Biden went on, you know, television today and said, look, we're going to war with Iran, I want all young white men to sign up to, you know, to the US military. This is where we're going. We're going back to war. We're going to be a nation again of strong, tough, masculine guys that go to war just like we used to. I think people would be booing and hissing. Mm-hmm. But I think if Trump did that, I think there would be some boos and there would be some hisses. But amongst his supporters, they would be lapping it up. They would go to war with him. And I think that is the problem with Trump, that he is the only candidate in America at the moment, or the only politician in America at the moment, that could motivate whites to want to go and fight in the Middle East.
Yeah, I don't know if he has an inclination to do that or not. That is a legitimate worry. We don't have a whole lot of time left. One thing I want to say about his first term is you could look at the first term where he got so little done and say, oh, well, that was all part of the plan. And I've heard even very serious people like Colonel Douglas McGregor say all Trump needed to do is issue such and such executive order. You know, he'd get the troops out and this and that. The thing is, I think there's two things. One is Trump, he's a great campaigner, but he was not at all effective as an administrator. But the other thing is, I think it's much harder. The work that needs to be done is much harder than a lot of people think. And, you know, he did issue executive orders. Many of the executive orders were held up in courts. And, you know, others were just, you know, he ordered troops out of Syria a number of times and that just never happened. They would just be ignored. And, you know, somebody who's really good at this stuff might have been able to get it done. But being able to impose your will on an organization just because nominally you have the authority doesn't mean that people are going to bend to your will. And when the organization has millions of people in it, like the United States government and military do, that's tough. And Trump doesn't have what it takes. It's a very difficult thing to do. I think it took President Putin years to be able to be effective. Now, of course, he's been around for 25 years, so he's been able to be effective for a while. But it's not easy. So that's the last thing I have to say. What do you think as we wrap this up, Mark?
I think you make a very good point. I think it's very easy you know, even for us to come on this show and say he should have done X, Y, and Z, or I would have done X, Y, and Z. And there are certain things that he did wrong that could have been dealt with very differently. One of them is his total lack of loyalty to people who were loyal to him. His ability just to throw loyal people to one side because, you know, his enemies didn't like them. That was maddening. And that is something that, you know, obviously could have been very, very different. But the fact of the matter is, you make a very good point. Donald Trump was not in a position where he was granted the same power as any other president. Other presidents were allowed to pass executive orders. They would go through. He wasn't allowed any of that. He was basically stymied at every step of the way. And that's just a fact. And anyone that says different is probably...
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read one. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered from a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious, he almost died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives that were more affordable, he tried Extendivite. Since taking it, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button, like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Other presidents were allowed to pass executive orders. They would go through. He wasn't allowed any of that. He was basically stymied at every step of the way. And that's just a fact. And anyone that says different is probably either a fool or kidding themselves. They're either trying to kid you or they're kidding themselves. One or the other, really. And I think that Trump has potentially here, you know, got a chance to run it again. And I think if he did run it again, he's in an almost the best situation he could be. He was very beleaguered at the end of his first term. He was a beleaguered president who was in a bad place. And I think at that time, a couple of years out, like he's had, or 4 years out, to reassess what happened and potentially to reassess what went wrong. And then afterwards to come back and be like, well, this is what I've learned being away. This is what I learned from the first term. This is how I'm going to do things differently. Could that be a way forward for him? Well, yes, it could be. That is a good position for him to be in. And after having done this once before, having a clean break, assembled a fresh team, and coming back, I think that gives him a chance to do more than he did the first time. Does that mean he will do more than he did the first time? No, of course it doesn't. I don't know what he's going to do. But I think at least he has a chance to. And that chance is something that I'm not saying we should all hold on to either. You know, yeah. The idea that we should all sort of like hold on to it and be like, oh, he's coming back and this time he's going to get it right. Nah, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all, yeah. Because, you know, that would be a big mistake to bet on that. But there is a chance he could do. And I think the fact that there's a chance he could do is better than going for Biden, where there's no chance of anything happening other than a dementia-ridden, almost comatosed old man being wheeled out every now and again, embarrassing himself, potentially going as far as wetting himself at some point on a podium somewhere. And, you know, really, Biden is just going to be more of the same anti-white garbage. With Trump, we may get something. And I suppose something's better than nothing, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's a possibility. I mean, it's not likely, but it's possible that he could do some beneficial things. At this point, if pollsters call me, and they call me from time to time, I will say that I intend to vote for Jill Stein of the Green Party, the Jewish lady running for the Green Party, because she's pretty clear in opposing the genocide that Israel's doing. To the extent I'm hopeful about the future, it doesn't have anything to do with American politics. It has more to do with Russia and China building a new international system where no matter who's in charge of America, they can do less harm. That's my final thought.
Well, my final thought.
Mark. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
go for it.
Look, no, I was just going to say, I think America, like, I think any empire goes down eventually. America is going down. And I think that the important thing is whoever's in power, you know, whites need to have some chance of turning this around. And I think the best way for whites to turn this around is potentially for them to be granted a little bit more time to organize a little better, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that could happen. I think that could happen under Trump more likely than it would happen under Biden. And, you know, time is of the essence for those who want to escape the cities and set up something new before real draconian laws are potentially passed. So I think Trump also buys a little time.
Okay, well, thank you so much for joining me, Mark.
Thank you for having me on. It's been a real pleasure.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri. 417-932-6419.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.